Turn this morning in your Bibles, please, to probably the most popular verse, most memorized verse found in all of the Word of God. Turn to John chapter 3. Yes, you figured it out. Verse 16. John 3, 16. I want to preach today simply on this thought, a Father's Day message from John 3, 16. Father's Day message from John 3 and verse number 16. Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Let's pray. Father, thank You today for all of the aspects of the service that's preceded this moment. Thank You for everything that's already taken place here today in this auditorium and in these Sunday school classes and in this facility for the glory of God. Now, my Father, I pray Your blessings upon the preaching of Your Word today. Ask You, Lord, to encourage and strengthen and challenge the hearts of every person, and especially the fathers that are here today. Bless on this Father's Day. May this time in the Word of God prove to be a tremendous boost in all of our spiritual lives. There's someone here today without Jesus Christ. May today be that very date of their spiritual birthday. And then encourage and challenge us all today. We stand as a needy people. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Today my desire, my burden, would be to deliver a challenge and, of course, an encouragement from the Word of God in my attempt today to honor fathers on this Father's Day. This is certainly a very special day, to say the very least. All of us that are wearing that title, we need encouragement, we need strength, because we recognize our weakness. All of us today sense our weakness as dads. We need all the help that God can give us. I've chosen the most beloved, most memorized, most quoted verse as my text. Actually, John chapter 3, verse number 16 could be called the amazing grace text of the Bible. Just as amazing grace is perhaps the most recognized, most beloved old hymn of the faith, John chapter 3, verse number 16 has got to be the one verse that is considered the golden verse, the miniature gospel. There's more packed into John chapter 3, verse 16 than all of the books in all of this world ever compiled could ever match. John chapter 3, verse number 16. This is perhaps one of the most preached verses. I'm sure every single one of you today have heard a message preached from time to time on John chapter 3, verse number 16. Today I want to point out to all of us some great principles that I believe we can see coming to us from the Heavenly Father that would give us a challenge in terms of how to better be earthly fathers as we go about serving God. I believe we have some lessons here, dads, from John chapter 3, verse number 16, that can help us in our function as an earthly father. Now, looking at this precious verse here that we have before us, we notice in this golden text, we notice the Father's love, number one. The Father's love. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world." Now think about the Father's love. We think of the earthly father's love for their children. We certainly do. We love them because they are our very own. We have no choice. We love them because they're our own. They haven't done anything to earn our love, but we love them anyway. Why? Because they're ours. Because they're ours. We will continue to love them no matter what they do. Our children might disappoint us. They might anger us. And at times we might want to even be tempted to disown them. Just joking, of course. but we'll still keep on loving them. I've never met a father yet who said, I don't love my children. Never. We struggle many times in the communications department, don't we, dads? I'll be first to admit, I can't tell you the many times I've said something to my son. He'll look at me with a look on his face like, what in the world are you talking about? I believe sometimes mothers have it on us, dads, when it comes to the matter of communication. They're able to express perhaps love in a deeper way oftentimes, as well as in a more sincere way. We fathers go at it wrong sometimes. Let me give you an example. We dads, myself included, we have sometimes just about as much wisdom, about as much discernment, as was expressed by one dad who told his son, 6 years old now, get this in mind, 6 year old son. He said, I love you, son. He said, I'm going to prove my love for you by taking you to McDonald's for a salad. Now you think about that. What's wrong with that statement for a 6 year old? You see, we have trouble expressing our love. For example, our child might really be acting up. In fact, we might be experiencing one of those moments to where we wonder whose kid this really is. Our Heavenly Father, let's transition now to my text. Our Heavenly Father expresses His love to us time and time again. Even in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned, what did God do? God came down, cool of the day. God came to Adam and Eve, and God provided clothes for them and covered their nakedness. But even beyond that, God did more than clothe their nakedness. I believe that God clothed their spiritual nakedness, because I believe that Adam and Eve responded to the gracious offering that God gave relative to the coming Lamb of God that in time would come to this earth. And of course, that was typified in the offerings that God provided. We love our children, but from time to time, we fail to express that love to them. I know of a Father in glory today. I know of a Heavenly Father. That Heavenly Father loves unconditionally. There's nothing that we have to do to condition God to love us. He loves us unconditionally. He loves us in spite of how we treat Him. He loves us regardless of how unkind, how crude, how ugly, and how disrespectful we become from time to time. God still loves us. I'm glad today for God's unconditional love, aren't you? I'm glad that God's love today is not only unconditional, but I'm glad that God's love is eternal. Never ends. God loves sincerely. God loves unchangingly. I've thought about this many times. You know, when God saved us, I'm talking now to Christians. If you're unsaved, I hope you'll still get something out of this. Be in the category of saved before you leave here. But you see, I've thought about this. When it comes to God's love, when He saved us, Christian, He didn't have a whole lot to work with to begin with, did He? He picked us up out of the miry clay. He established our goings. He gave us a new home in glory. He's blessed us along the way. And God knew the day that He saved us, the mistakes that we would make, the times that we would sin, the times that we disappointed Him. God knew that in advance, but still saved us and still loves us in spite of that. That's not like it is on a human level. If we know down the road somebody is going to disappoint us, someone is going to attempt to hurt us, someone is not going to love us, someone would actually abuse us if they get a chance, do you think we'd love them? Do you think that our attitude would remain the same? But now think about God today. When God saved us, He knew every single future mistake we would ever make. But God still loved us in spite of that. When I think of a Father, I think of a Father's love. And when I think of the Heavenly Father, I certainly think of the Father's love. John chapter 3, verse 16, I think of the Father's love. When I think of John chapter 3, 16, I think of something else. I think of the Father's generosity. The Father's generosity. For God so loved the world that He gave. The Father's generosity. A father gives to his children, earthly father too, I'm talking about. Fathers give to their children. What did God give to us? God gave His Son. He gave the best He could ever give. That's God's ultimate gift. He also keeps on giving. He not only gives eternal life to His children to enjoy, but He even gives physical life to enjoy. Do you know today that we can also enjoy physical life? I happen to enjoy physical life. I kind of enjoy living, don't you? I enjoy living, I enjoy eating, I enjoy going to Captain Tom's. I enjoy going out and I enjoy messing around in the garden. I enjoy taking vacations. I enjoy looking and noticing creation. I just enjoy living. And I believe God gives us that capacity to enjoy living. Jesus said, the Bible says, John, I've written these things unto you that you might have joy. I believe God has given us the ability to have joy. You see, when I think of John 3:16, I think of the Father's generosity. God so loved He gave. The Christian life is an enjoyable life. In spite of the pains and the struggles of life, we still have the ability to enjoy life. Life is a precious gift itself. Sometimes we don't realize the value of time until we stand on eternity's shore. Sometimes we don't realize the value of precious friends until they're gone. But life is a precious thing. Moments are precious. Time is precious. Oh, today that we can understand a little bit more how precious it is. Every second, every minute of our life is precious. I know you've heard the sad story this past week of the terrible thing that happened in Disneyland, Disney World. You heard about that. It's all over the news. Can you imagine going on vacation to Disney World and taking your child to Disney World for a vacation of all vacations, and that child literally be killed by an alligator? Can you imagine that? And that mother going home from vacation without her son. But what I heard this past week was something else. I heard of another account, another mother. You may have seen her interview on the news yourself. Another mother was there. The other mother had a son. The other mother's little boy was playing in that same little piece of water there, artificial provision of water there that Disney provides. The other mother's son was playing in that same place. But this little boy happened to get tired. And the mother takes the child and puts the child to bed. And then just minutes later, the other mother's little boy was dragged into that water by the alligator. Then this other mother gave her report. She said, I go home. She said, I go home rejoicing because I'm able to go home with my son. But she said, I'm thinking of another mother right now that can't rejoice. And though I'm rejoicing because my son is with me, I have sorrow in my heart because of that other mother that cannot go home with her son. I want to say today that moments, memories, and life are precious. We need to live to enjoying the moment. I have a good friend, Denver Blake. I've mentioned him many times in West Virginia. Denver Blake had throat cancer. And Denver Blake got to the very borders of eternity. Cancer was taking him down. And many people got to praying for Denver Blake. And I believe God answered prayer and God healed Denver. But Denver Blake will tell you to this day, He said, he said, I enjoy every moment of my life now. He said, since that incident in my life, he said, every day to me now is precious. I love my life. And sometimes it's not until we get to the borders of eternity. It's not until we give up a loved one, give up a friend, that we realize how precious, how valuable life really is. But let me say today, when I think of John 3:16, I see a Father's love. I see a Father's generosity. The Heavenly Father, He's loving, He's caring, He's giving. And He is desirous that we enjoy what He has given us. He meets our needs. He answers our prayers. He tackles our problems. Our God is a giving God. He certainly provides what we need pertaining to life and godliness. And I believe that fathers, as I transition now back to some application, I believe that fathers are to look out for the needs of their household. Fathers are to look out for the needs of their households. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:4, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Now fathers are given the initial leadership role in the spiritual training of their children. Where did we get the idea that this is mother's primary role? Where did we get that idea? Now thank God for mothers and thank God for godly mothers. But my friend, that does not put the fathers off the hook. I believe one of the greatest problems today in our land, in our churches, is fathers who are delinquent in their responsibility in this area of spiritual leadership. You see it everywhere. It is a tragedy. It is terrible today how so many fathers are more interested in themselves, their pleasures, and what they have than the spiritual welfare of their children. God help us. Father's generosity. Fathers are to be giving. They are the ones that God has placed in the primary position of leadership in the home. I heard of a single guy one time that was visiting a friend of his who was married. And the married friend of his, he had a little boy playing on the floor in front of him, and as they talked, the married man, he pointed to the little baby boy. He said, "There goes my chance of having a boat. As soon as I get him paid for it, this little baby now, so as soon as I pay the bill for the birth of that baby," he said, "by the time that hospital bill is paid, he'll need braces. And then by the time I get those paid for, he'll need a car. And when that's paid off, it'll be time to send him to college. By then, I'll be too old to want a boat." Now listen to me. I chuckle when I read that as well, but there's a heartbreaking story there. Fathers must care for the family's needs. Fathers must be willing to sacrifice. They're a part of the job description, part of the joy of being a father. You see, our children will never understand how much we sacrifice for them, but personally, I think that's the way it ought to be. The last thing, now catch this, the last thing your children need to hear is, "If it weren't for you, I'd have a boat." Let me tell you something. While I'm preaching right now, I'm thinking of people that aren't in church today because of a boat. That aren't in church today because of a camper. That aren't in church today because of a pleasure. Go ahead, enjoy the lake, enjoy the camping, but mark my word, here's a gospel preacher that'll go on notice this morning and say to every dad, "You be delinquent of your responsibilities in the home, you will live to regret the day." You will. I say that to you in love. But I say that as a person that's been in the Word many, many years, and I know what I'm talking about. And by the way, here's the thing too, let's keep this in mind. Now I know, I understand something. I understand the principle. Usually, what we do is this. We think of Mother's Day, we think of Father's Day. And by the way, the attitude and the heart of the preacher covers everything though. But here's what we think of. Mother's Day. We love our moms. We pat them on the back. We let the world know how they're loved. But Father's Day, we skin the dads. I'm telling you this morning, I'm not skinning anybody. God knows my heart, but I'd like to help you if I could. But why waste an opportunity like Father's Day to challenge and encourage the men of the church to take serious your responsibility? When I think of John 3:16, I think of a father's love. When I think of chapter 3, verse number 16, I think of a father's generosity. Father's generosity. You know, it would be easy, fathers, to just be the provider and to let the wife take care of raising the children. But children need their fathers to be more than a provider. They need him to be emotionally available too. The Heavenly Father gives and is always available for his children. God so loved the world that he gave. When it came to giving, he gave what we needed the most. God didn't cut corners when it came to giving. And here's something else I'll be quick to add. His gift was not re-gifted either. It wasn't re-gifted. His son, was deity, gift wrapped in human flesh before he was wrapped in swaddling clothes. I'm telling you, before that precious virgin young lady held that child in her arms and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, God had already wrapped the deity of his son in humanity, in human flesh. Yes. John 3:16, the Father's love. John 3:16, the Father's generosity. And then thirdly, when I think of John chapter 3, verse number 16, I think of the Father's expectation. The Father's expectation. Now, here it is. For God so loved the world, the Father's love, that he gave his only begotten Son, the Father's generosity, that whosoever believeth in him, the Father's expectation. Whosoever believeth in him, the Father's expectation. What am I saying? Think about this morning. His gift was wrapped, is to be matched with response. His gift is to be matched with response. The plan of salvation is an unlimited plan in terms of who can be saved. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever, thank God for that, whosoever, we don't have the capacity, the ability to pay the price for our sin. But listen to me, we do have the capacity by the Holy Spirit's convicting power to receive, to believe. And I believe this. I believe that God desires to save every single soul of Adam's race. I believe God desires to save every sinner. Don't you believe that? If you don't, you ought to. And I'll tell you why you ought to believe it. Here's the reason why. Who would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. It's God's will that all be saved. Now, if they don't get saved, whose problem is it? Not God's. Certainly no weakness in the provision of his son's death because Jesus paid it all. He tasted death for every man. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. I'm telling you, there's enough power, saving power in one precious drop of the blood of Jesus Christ to save the entire world if the world would believe. There's an expectation here. Do you know this morning that God has a limitation? Now before you brand me as a heretic, listen to what I'm about to say. You know God has a limitation? You say, how, preacher? He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He can do all things. How can God be limited, you ask? He's limited in terms of who He can save. Now again, don't brand me quite yet. He's limited. Here's the limitation. That if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. God is limited to who He can save. He can only save the person that will trust Him. He can only save the person who will believe. That's true. God's not going to force salvation on anybody that will not accept Him. There's a level of expectancy, though. God so loved the world, His love, that He gave His giving. That whosoever believeth, His expectancy. God has not given the blessed provision of His Son to not be accepted. So you see, there's an expectancy. Now, let me bring this down. I bring it back again to a human level. Fathers in the home need to teach and to expect their children to respond to their love and care and responsibility in meeting obligations. Do you know today that fathers need to expect their kids to do things? I've never seen a time where kids basically get by anymore with doing anything they want. Don't discipline them. Don't tell them they're wrong. We're allowed to warp their feelings, you know. My goodness, we don't want to hurt their little feelings. Been so long since anybody picked up an old-fashioned paddle in most homes today. That paddle has got dust and moth and corroded terribly bad and rotted by now. I'll tell you what, when I was a kid growing up, now I know, don't you millennial people get tired of hearing this? Here we come, baby boomers, they know it all. But now you stop and think, millennials, think about this. We don't have too many here today, but you stop and think about this. It seemed to me like the way that things were handled years ago in our generation, I'm talking about yours truly here, at least that discipline didn't hurt us too bad. I mean, really, stop and think about it before you can us as being nuts. But you see, fathers ought to expect. There ought to be rules, there ought to be regulations, there ought to be curfews. In other words, listen to me today. You cannot. Listen, the Bible says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And sometimes you've got to deal with that child and get that foolishness out of them. Always do it in love. But at the same time, you just can't let kids have free hand in a home. Expectancy, expectancy, expectancy. Got to hurry here. There's a man by the name of John Grisham who wrote a book entitled The Testament. He begins with a story about a man who succeeded in business beyond what most people could imagine. That man, John Grisham, received a fortune of $11 billion. $11 billion. He decided to give his children a no-strings-attached gift of $5 million on their 21st birthday. Every single child of his, on the 21st birthday, he gave them $5 million. That's a pretty good birthday gift. But stay with me. Every one of those children squandered that money. Eventually, every child wound up deep in debt, resentful of their father, eagerly waiting him to die so they could collect their share of their inheritance. Now evaluate that man for just a moment. This man, though a success in the eyes of the world, was a failure in the eyes of God. He had a lot of money to give, but his kids didn't learn. You know, that story is no fiction. or that story, let me say to you, is fiction, but I know of a Bible story that compares that is not fiction. Let me tell you about this story. In the Bible, there's a man there by the name of Eli, Old Testament story. He was a man of God. He was a priest who served in the temple. Though Eli was faithful as a priest, he was a failure as a father. The sons of Eli had no respect for the law of God. They defiled sacrifices. They extorted from those who brought the offerings to God, and they slept with the women who served in the temple. Eli knew about their behavior, but it did nothing. And as a result, God judged Eli. Let me tell you something today, dads. I say this to you again with love in my heart. God expects more out of a dad than simply someone that'll hug a child and say, I love you, honey. And I'll make sure you get a good education. And I'll make sure you get wheels under your feet when you turn 16. My friend, God expects more out of a dad than that, though. What about teaching character? What about setting an example? What about that? A father has a responsibility to their children. He must say, this is the way we live, and nothing less is acceptable. And of course, it's a father's responsibility to lead by example. A father's attitude ought to be, do as I do, not merely do as I say. Joshua set the best example that you can read about when he said, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Bar none. I like that. Cut and dried rule. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Joshua stepped up and said, I'm the spiritual leader in the home. I'm going to decide the spiritual climate of the home. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. That ought to be coming from Dad. Now, am I right or wrong? It's in the book, isn't it? John 3:16, the Father's love, the Father's generosity, the Father's expectation. And then finally, and I'm done, the Father's preparation. For God so loved the world, the Father's love, that He gave the Father's generosity, His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth the Father's expectation. Then, note this, verse reads on, should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Father's provision, the Father's preparation, we could say. Preparation. The Heavenly Father, thank God, prepares His children for the future. Good, isn't it? What a great future. He doesn't want to spend eternity without them. Hey, I'd like to think about families going to heaven together, wouldn't you? I'd like to think about mothers and fathers and children all being up there one day. I mean, hey, it'd be a terrible thing to have a family circle broken in heaven, wouldn't it? He wants us to live in His presence forever. He's provided a way to make it happen. But you know, this morning, Christianity isn't about man finding his way to God. It's about God reaching down to us through His Son. God has a vision for our future. Earthly fathers need to do what they can do to direct the future of their children in a way that will most benefit the child. A father should help his child prepare spiritually for the future by bringing them up in a Christian atmosphere, by reading to them the Bible, by taking them to church, not sending them, by setting an example in the home. A father should encourage his children to pursue their dreams. Yes, he should. He should help them to prepare for challenges they will face. He should give them the total support as they enter life as an adult. A father should teach his children the kind of a person to choose as friends, the kind of person to look for in a life mate. Without specific direction, they won't know what kind of a person they should marry. And you and I know this. We had too many examples of this. A lot of marriages didn't wind up too well because maybe enough prayer and preparation and planning and wise counsel wasn't factored in when the dating process began. Right or wrong? Our heavenly fathers prepared a future for us in heaven. Earthly fathers must help their children prepare for their future on earth, and especially in heaven. God gives us the blueprint for fatherhood in this precious verse. Dads, today in closing, and I'm done, remember the Father's love. Remember the Father's preparation, expectation. Remember the Father's example in John 3:16, and copy that, and I'm telling you, you'll be a good dad. Let's pray.